Prayer.
There are five prayers on a daily basis.
Proof.
But alhamdulillah, Islam has offered us all the proofs.
Knowledge.
It's no good doing taqleed of someone who you've seen on television or heard on the media purely because they're famous.
Me, proudly I would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask her, why does she dress that way? All covered up in a world that gives it all away. Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Islamic Laws, which for this holy month of Ramadan is dedicated to the Islamic rulings concerning this holy month. Please stay with us.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan.
Welcome back, dear listeners of Islamic Laws. In today's program, we cover some rules of fasting according to the verdicts of Ayatollah Khamenei. Also, in the section From Ritual to Spiritual, we try to explain how, in addition to acting upon the Islamic laws, we can go beyond and tread on the path of spiritual journey. Now let's listen to a part of Ayatollah Khamenei's biography.
On the 16th of July, 1939, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei was born in the holy city of Mashhad, in the province of Khorasan. Sayyid Ali was the second son of Sayyid Jawad Khamenei, a humble and poor Islamic scholar who taught all members of his family how to lead a simple and humble way of life. At the age of four, Sayyid Ali and his older brother Muhammad were sent to Maktab, the traditional primary schools of that time, in order to learn the alphabet and the Holy Quran. Later, he was transferred to a newly established Islamic school to continue his learning. After this primary schooling, Sayyid Ali pursued his studies at the theological seminary in Mashhad. He studied all the intermediate level curriculum, including logic, philosophy, and Islamic jurisprudence in the exceptionally short time of 5 years. He then started his advanced level studies called Dars-e-Kharij with such eminent scholars and instructors as Grand Ayatollah Milani.
Question: is the criteria for identifying harm a doctor, or is my opinion enough? Answer: your identification is sufficient if it is based on a rational fear of harm occurring. However, this fear sometimes is gained from the experience of a specialist who has seen similar cases or the personal experiences of the person himself. Question: is the possibility of harm sufficient for fasting to be abandoned, or does a person have to be certain? What are the parameters for the amount of harm? Answer: only a rational fear of harm occurring allows for a person to abandon fasting. The parameters for such a fear is acquired from general consensus, that is, the general public see the effect caused by fasting as being harmful. Question: if a person doubts whether fasting will be harmful to him or not, but a doctor tells him not to fast, what is his duty? Answer: if the statement of the doctor creates a rational fear of harm occurring, he should not fast. Question: my doctor told me that I should not fast, but by taking into consideration that he is unaware of religious laws and edicts, should I comply to his prescription? Answer: if a rational fear of harm occurring is established by the prescription of the doctor, even if he is not Muslim, fasting becomes forbidden for that person. Once he recovers, the qada must be performed before the beginning of the next Ramadan. Question: my doctor said that I should not fast, but I am certain that fasting will not harm me. What is my responsibility? Answer: if you are certain that no harm will occur and the statement of the doctor does not bring about a rational fear of harm occurring, you must fast. Question: I was told by my doctor that I must not fast. This really upset me, as I wish to fast just like everyone else. What is my duty? Answer: with the existence of an illness, your fasts are invalid and you should not fast. However, if before the next month of Ramadan you regain your health, those missed fasts should be kept. That is, the qada of those fasts should be performed. If, however, you do not regain your health before the next Ramadan, it is not required for you to keep any fast, but instead you should pay the fidya, which is approximately 750 grams of staple food such as wheat, rice, etc., which should be given to a needy person for every day that was missed of the previous year. Question: an ill person has a strong inclination that fasting is harmful to him, but regardless, he keeps the fast, and after Maghrib, it turns out that in fact, fasting was not harmful for him. Is his fast correct? Answer: with the assumption that he had a rational fear of harm occurring, his fast is invalid, and the qada of that fast is compulsory upon him. A person who knows that fasting carries no serious harm for him, even if a doctor says it does, he must fast. On the other hand, if a person is certain that fasting will cause him harm, he must refrain from fasting, even if a doctor says that no harm exists. A person in this instance must not fast, and if he does, it will not be correct. Rather, it is forbidden.
Now let's listen to another part of Ayatollah Khamenei's biography.
Diligently and enthusiastically, Ayatollah Khamenei followed his advanced studies in Qom from 1958 to 1964 and benefited from the teachings of great scholars and grand Ayatollahs such as Ayatollah Brujerdi, Imam Khomeini, Ayatollah Ha'iri Yazdi, and Allama Tabatabai. He received the bad news that his father had lost his sight in one eye and was not able to read properly. This prompted him to return to Mashhad and, while being at the service of his father, seek further knowledge from him, from Ayatollah Milani and other important scholars residing in Mashhad. The young Sayyid Ali, who had now become a mujtahid by having completed his advanced level studies, began to teach various religious subjects to younger seminary and university students.
When we have to pay a compensation of 750 grams of food, like rice, barley and bread, in exchange for each fast missed, it is called fidya. Cases for which fidya is required: if a person is ill or has a permanent health condition and does not expect to be ever to be able to fast in Ramadan for the rest of their lives or for a long time, then for each fast they must pay the 750 grams of food per fast to the poor, and they do not have to worry about the qada. Also, if a person has owing fasts for Ramadan and intentionally delays them until the next Ramadan, they must give fidya for each fast owing and also redo the fast owing. When we have to either fast for 60 days or feed 60 poor people or free a slave, as a penalty, it is called kafara. Cases for which kafara is required. Kafara is when a person intentionally does not fast in Ramadan and breaks the fast for no justified reason. Then they must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for the sin committed and compensate for the missed fast as qada, and either feed 60 poor people or fast for 60 days or free a slave for each fast that was broken intentionally. In many cases, a person may have to do more than one of the above. According to some scholars, if you deliberately break your fast on haram, for example, haram food or haram drink, and etc., your kafara will be all three of feeding 60 poor people, fasting for 60 days, and freeing of a slave. One should always refer back to the marja for more details.
From Ritual to Spiritual by Sheikh Salim Bimji.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We're going to be continuing on in our discussion that we began on the title From Ritual to Spiritual, the fiqh and the philosophy of fasting of the month of Ramadan. When the sixth Imam spoke about this, he gave us the following seven things that would break our fast from the spiritual perspective. He says that you need to protect your tongue from lying. He then says to lower your eye glances from what Allah has forbidden you to see. The Imam then says, do not fight with one another. He then says, do not be jealous of one another. Number five, he says, do not backbite one another. He also says at point number seven that do not abuse one another. And the seventh the Imam mentions in this particular tradition is not to be unjust to one another. So this month of Ramadan that we're about to embark upon, brothers and sisters, in the next few days, is not just keeping the stomach empty. It's not just about hunger pains. It's not just about, you know, not being able to do those things that I do 11 months out of the year. This month should be a time that we transform our entire presence, that we are ensuring that every organ in our body, every limb, is in a state of fasting. Our eyes, our ears, our mouth, where we go, what we do, what we say, all of these things we have to think about. We have to really make it a conscious effort this month of Ramadan. Because who knows if we're going to make it to next year. There are people, I'm sure, within our family who were here last year in the month of Ramadan, and we fasted with them. And I'm sure we broke fast with them last year in this same building. And today they're no longer here. We might be in that same situation next year, that we might not be here next year, and maybe our name will be on those announcements to recite a Surah Fatiha for. So we have to be serious and take this month of Ramadan as something that will change our lives, something that we can actually work towards a better me, that I can become a better human being and a better servant and a better follower of the religion of Islam and the teachings of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad alayhim as-salatu was-salam. I want to focus my intention on a few statements of Rasulullah. You know, the Prophet, before the month of Ramadan, it was a Friday, the last Friday of the month of Sha'ban. And we're told that Rasulullah gave a khutbah, he gave a sermon. It's a pretty brief sermon, you can read it within about 7 to 10 minutes. But he gave such a beautiful, vivid description of the month of Ramadan. And I wanted to just look at a few different statements of the Prophet. I'm not going to, you know, go through the entire sermon this evening. But you can find it online, it's available, the translation is out there. And so I've taken a few lines from the blessed sermon of Rasulullah, in which he mentioned and introduced the month of Ramadan to his followers, and obviously to you and I as an extension. He began by saying the following. He says, O people, the month of Allah has approached you filled with blessings and mercy and forgiveness. So this is a key thing, that this month which is coming, the month of Allah, Shahrullah, that it is a month of blessings of Allah. And we'll see how Rasulullah describes the blessings of Allah. It's not something which is ordinary. Rather, what Rasulullah mentions is completely extraordinary. He shows us how the simplest of things becomes a blessing and a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding Islamic laws, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Please mention the religious authority that you follow. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. We hope and pray that Allah accepts all your religious deeds in this holy month of Ramadan. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.